we're going to look at a little book in the Bible, a little letter written by an eyewitness of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, the Apostle John. And the Apostle John is writing to a church a bit like us. And he's writing to Christians to try and help them know how they can live joyfully. And so we've called this series Joyful Living. And today I'm particularly talking about discovering joy. And as we look at this letter, 1 John, we're going to see about what life is like when you walk in kind of connection and friendship with the God who is life and light and love. And that's what we're going to be exploring in these weeks. So if you're just visiting with us today, you're really welcome to come back next week. We've got some baptisms next week, and we're going to keep looking at 1 John. And do please continue to connect with us. We'd love to know you better as well as these weeks go by. But right now, we're going to read this first few verses from 1 John, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. And just because it's a short verse and it's what I want us to focus on in this wonderful Cap Sunday, I wonder if we could just read it again. And then I'm going to take some moments to just explain it and help us unpack it. So let's read it again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim, writes the Apostle John, concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. And then should we read it all out loud together, the next two verses here? So from verse 3, all together, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Should we pray together? Ask God to help him, help us understand more of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Apostle John taking the time to write this letter. We thank you for the many lives, Lord, millions, probably billions, around the world and through history who've been impacted by his words. And we pray by your Spirit, come today and speak to us. Open our eyes. Help us understand what he's trying to say, that we might live lives with you. And so come, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's already been such a special service, just being able to worship together and hearing some of those stories. And I'm just so moved by all that God's doing through the CAP Center here and across the country. And one of the stories that I read as I was preparing for this, which is in some of the material that CAP produced, was Emma's story. This is Emma. And it's a short story, but I want to dwell on it a little bit because it's going to help us understand some of what's going on in our passage. Emma writes this. She says, I split up with my partner and then I was assaulted. So I hit the drink. I didn't care about anything, so I just let my finances go. My rent arrears were so bad I was almost evicted and I was scared of people knocking and I wouldn't go anywhere. And then the social services took the kids from me for a week because of the drinking, and that's how I got hold of CAP's number. When Dawn from CAP came, I just knew they were here to help me. Dawn came to court with me and was there for me constantly, and now I don't need to worry. I have a budget and I've become debt free. I don't drink anymore. I'm so happy. If it wasn't for CAP coming into my life, I wouldn't be here today. Now I'm stronger knowing I have God's love. CAP has changed my life, and I want people to know. That's Emma's story. And I want to talk this morning about discovering joy. You see, Emma's story ends, just as so many of the stories we've been hearing today, end with this sense of joy. She writes, Emma, in the midst of all this, she says, I'm so happy now. I'm so happy. I remember the first video we watched, the Imagine one, where this lady was telling of it all. And then did you see her kind of later on in the video and the joy she had and her family had as they were there worshiping God and telling something of their story. It's amazing. Our passage also ends with joy. Complete joy. Fullness of joy. And I wonder this morning, how do we discover joy? And how do we help others discover joy? Because a lot of life is not joyful. Did you notice in Emma's story in the beginning, it almost makes you weep, the pain of it. And so many of these stories, it's just so much pain, so much brokenness. And so many people's lives are full of pain, of brokenness, fear, despair, and loneliness. In fact, it's there in some of the information on your seats, but one of the things that CAP have found through their research of their clients, those who are connecting with what they're doing, they find that 36% consider or attempt suicide before calling CAP. That's over a third. 36% consider or attempt suicide before calling CAP. And I know in a large gathering like this that there'll be some here, and either yourself or someone you know and love has also attempted to take their life. One of the things I've been doing as I've been preparing is praying for you or for those that you know who've gone through that, because it's a reminder of just how difficult life can be for people at times. How overwhelming and full of despair. And one of the things I want us to look at this morning is where life can come even when there's the shadow of death. I want to look this morning at where friendship and fellowship and intimacy and relationships can flourish where there once was kind of isolation and loneliness. I want to look this morning at what brings joy when there's fear and anxiety and despair. And perhaps you're even here today and you're hearing all this, but you're actually, in your heart is just such hurt that you can't really imagine experiencing the kind of joy that we've been talking about as we've been starting this morning. Well, as we look through this series in 1 John, we're going to discover more about what it is that actually leads to joyful life. And one of the amazing things we're going to discover is that actually joy can be a bit elusive. If you go after joy, if you're trying to grab joy, often you kind of don't get it. It's not the sort of main focus of where we discover joy is just simply going after joy. We're going to discover something surprising, something that actually brings and leads to joy. And I'll give you a clue right at the start at what it is. One of the reasons we're doing 1 John is because when I was taking some time out a couple of months back and just been praying, and I try and have a kind of quiet day, and I look and read through a bit of the Bible and just try and enjoy time with God, I'd been thinking about a verse I'd been learning. Here's the verse up on the screen. It's 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. And it's a great verse. It says, His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness, or a godly life, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Great verse. And then it goes on, and this is the bit I was particularly trying to learn. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. I'm going to talk about that tonight. So that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And I just was grabbed by this little phrase, an amazing phrase. Participate in the divine nature. Kind of somehow caught up in who God is. And I was thinking about this and thinking, that sounds amazing. And I was reading, and I found myself reading 1 John, and I thought, 1 John is full of this. It's full of this participating in the divine nature. And somehow that is connected to this whole thing of discovering joy, as we're going to see. Because did you notice in each of these stories, there's a kind of turning point. In Emma's story that I read at the start, there's a kind of turning point. And the turning point is not actually when she got out of debt. The turning point is when dawn came into her life, or the turning point in the story that we saw in the video, the Imagine story, the story there was when this lady, I think her name was Joan, walked in the door, and this person who felt so isolated and alone suddenly found they had a friend. You see, joy starts coming when we find relationships that are real. Relationships where we feel cared for. But it wasn't just that those people met Dawn or they met Joan. Something amazing happened. They talk, as Emma talked about. Did you notice in her story? If we can have that slide right back up the front. She says, if it wasn't for Cap coming into my life, I wouldn't be here today. Now I'm stronger knowing I have God's love. See, Emma discovered something amazing. She discovered God. And not just as a kind of out there thing. Discovered that God loved her. And what we're going to see here in 1 John is we're going to see that if we discover John, if we discover joy, we've got to start where John starts. And he starts right back at the beginning. Look with me where 1 John 1 starts. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. John says, you want to know joy, you want to get joy, you've got to go back to the beginning. You've got to start where it all starts. And it all starts, as John does here, with this sort of the word of life. In fact, John is deliberately kind of echoing his own gospel, which he wrote in John 1. We got up here on the screen, and he starts it like this. And that, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And John is deliberately echoing the very first verse in the Bible. Do you want to read this one with me? Begins with God. And John is saying, this is where it all begins. This is where it all begins. And so if you go back to 1 John verse 1, he's saying that which was from the beginning. My God. So look later down at the end of 1 John 1. It's a bit of a long verse, and the main focus of it comes at the end of the verse. The word of life. The word of life. This one who was in the beginning. The word of life, or if you like, the author of life. God who spoke and things came into being. This is where you've got to start. But amazingly, with me, 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. It's like he heard God. Which we have seen with our eyes. It's like he saw God. Which we have looked at and our hands have touched. It's like he touched God. What? I thought you were talking about God, John, I thought you were talking about the one who kind of made everything, who was there from the beginning. Now you seem to be talking about a person, a real person, a person you can touch. And John says, yes, I'm talking about both those things. You see, you go on and you realize that Jesus is talking about someone. Someone who he saw and touched and listened to. He's talking as you go on in verse 2. It says, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, this one who was with the Father from all the beginning, the one who was with God the Father, was God the Son, Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing that John is trying to say is that this Jesus who we saw and walked with and watched die and saw resurrected to life, that one is the one who was there at the beginning. That one is God. You see John saying, if you want to discover real joy, you have to discover the real Jesus. If you want to discover real joy, you have to discover the real Jesus. That's my one and main point this morning. That's the thing I want you to see from this passage. That's the thing I want us to continue to explore and look at. So why don't you just say this with me and let's get it into our hearts. And if you've got questions about how is that possible, I'm hoping that we're going to see more about that as we go through. So here we go. To discover real joy, you have to discover the real Jesus. You know, that's why Christians Against Poverty, which stands, well, often we say CAP, but it's Christians Against Poverty, and they're actually the best debt advice in the country, and they've had the government approach them and say, hey, why not drop the Christian bit, and we'll kind of roll it out even bigger scale than you're doing now. And I want to ask you, why do you think John Kirkby has not taken them up on that offer? Why do you think he's not said, okay, yeah, we could open maybe, you know, thousands of more debt centers and we get some more government funding and we could drop the Christian bit, partner with other organizations, not just the church. Why do you think he's not done that? I'll tell you why. Because CAP have discovered that actually if they really want to help their clients, if they really want to help those in need, they don't just need to help them out of debt. They need to help them know Jesus Christ. It's him who turns it all around. And one of the things we've been singing about already this morning is this amazing truth that Jesus doesn't just help us with our kind of financial debt. He helps us with the debt of sin. We sang this amazing song, you came from heaven and earth to show us the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay. It's where he came. He came to pay our debt. And that's the debt of our sin. It's what 1 John goes on to write about in 1 John 4. Turn over with me just a couple of pages and you'll see in 1 John 4 verse 9 and 10. Thank you for the rescue, Mike. And happy birthday for the other day. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. See, the amazing thing about Jesus, the amazing thing that the CAP center managers and debt coaches and those who work as befrienders are able to bring into their homes is not just help with debt and financial debt, but it's actually the knowledge of how to help with the debt of sins, the mistakes and the failures and the wrong things we've done that often lead us into all kinds of problems. But we all carry that debt. Each and every one of us. And that's the wonderful thing that Jesus came to help us with. You know, one of the joys in life is when we discover in our own life that we can be forgiven. One of the great privileges about partnering with CAP is that they have the joy of seeing this almost on a daily basis. We were hearing that statistic at the beginning. I think 3 people every day. Over the years that they've been operating, since 1996, over 5,000 people have come to know Christ through the work of CAP. That's one of the big things they celebrate. Because they're not just trying to get people out of debt, they're trying to help people discover Jesus Christ. And what a joy for us as a church and as a center here that folks here have been part of that number, part of those who've come to know Christ. But here's the thing that John would want us to see. He'd want us to see that it's not just any view of Jesus that transforms people's lives. It's the real Jesus. The real Jesus. You see, in John's day, there were all kinds of views circulating about Jesus. There were people who were called Gnostics. They were those who were, it was all about knowledge. They thought the body was really kind of rubbish. In fact, their kind of main principles, if you like, was the impurity of matter and the supremacy of knowledge. So for them, salvation kind of came through knowledge. And that was the escape, as it were, from the body. That was what it was all about. And they liked Jesus. They thought he was great. They talked a lot about him. They really kind of bigged him up. For the Gnostics, though, God could never have kind of become a man. Never sort of fully could God become a man. And so they kind of twisted all the stuff about Jesus. Just made it fit their way of thinking. And John is writing to say, no. You want to know real joy? You've got to discover the real Jesus. And the real Jesus was God who was there at the beginning, who came into our real world as a real person who you could see and look at and touch. In fact, in these few verses, it says it time and again. Look, we saw him. We touched him. He appeared. It's all very kind of tangible. And you know, in our day and age, 2016, there are all kinds of views that circulate about Jesus. There were some studies done last year, in October last year, and the BBC News picked up on it. And this is straight out of the BBC News website about a recent survey they had, where the survey found that 4 in 10 people did not realize that Jesus was a real person in the UK. Just let me cover that again. In the UK today, adults, British adults, 4 in 10 did not realize that Jesus was a real person. And 25% of 18 to 30 year olds believe he was a mythical or fictional character. So it's kind of a lot of people that you know and that you see walking around don't actually think Jesus was a historical person, a real person. And I'm thinking about that and thinking, how is that possible? In fact, there's no credible historian. There's so much evidence for Jesus' life. There's no credible historian who doesn't believe that Jesus actually existed and walked on the earth. So how is it that, what are the figures again? 4 out of 10 adults don't think he was a real person. How is that possible? I was thinking about this and thinking, you know, I think one of the things is that in our education system in schools, where do you learn about Jesus? In what subject? RE. And RE is the kind of place where you learn about faith and you learn about things that you can believe or not and take or not. It's a kind of take it or leave it subject. Whereas you learn about kind of Julius Caesar or, you know, other kind of figures of history, you learn about them in history. And you learn about science in science. And those are the subjects that deal with facts, whereas RE is kind of deals with values and faith. And so people get in their head that somehow Jesus is not a real factual person of history. And yet John would go, no. The Apostle John would say, he was real. I touched him. I saw him. And folks, you and I need to recapture that sense as well. That burden that if people are going to hear about the real Jesus, they're going to hear it from folks like you and I. And we've got to be those who join with CAP nationally. And that's why it's such a privilege to partner. They also have the same commitment that the Apostle John does here to proclaim. Do you notice how often it says that? We proclaim to say yes. We want to help people see it by our lives and by the way we act. But we also want to speak about this Jesus who's real. The amazing thing that Jesus himself said is that if you want to know eternal life, he said, you've got to know me. John 17 verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they will know you. The only true God, Jesus says to his Father, and Jesus Christ, talking about himself, whom you have sent. So, let's be those who confidently, I love the way John Stott writes about it. He says, the Christian message is neither a philosophical speculation nor a tentative suggestion nor a modest contribution to religious thought. Rather, it's a bold, positive declaration of life-transforming facts. Let's be those who positively and boldly have this a great assurance that the Apostle John seems to have here. But I want us to really get to the nub of what I want to say this morning, and that is in verse 3, just as we end. You see, the reason we need to know the real Jesus is because the real Jesus, look with me, verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying, I'm telling you all this about the real Jesus, that he was there at the beginning and that you could see him and you could touch him and that he appeared. I'm telling you that so that you could have fellowship. It's the kind of word we don't often use much anymore, but it's like friendship. It's like sharing. It's a real relationship. The Apostle John's saying, I want you to have a real relationship with us and to join in our real relationship with God. Amazing. I love the way the writer of the Message puts it. He puts it like this. He says, we saw it. This is Eugene Peterson's kind of his version of these words. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so that you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will be our double joy. You see, it's as we come into a relationship with God and with others who know and love God that joy comes in our lives. Jesus Christ enables us to have a relationship with God. That's what Sean in that story was describing. That's what Emma in the story I read at the beginning was describing. Their lives turned around as they discovered that they weren't alone. They weren't isolated. They weren't without a friend in the world. No, they had a real friend, tangible there. And then they had another real friend who that friend introduced them to, a real God who heard them and loved them and was with them. And you and I have this amazing privilege too, to know this God. Again, this one who draws us close with nail-pierced hands into his arms of love. It's an amazing privilege. I heard recently something that I've been taught way back and I've used a number of times that I know helps bring me joy is when I get the order right in life. Sometimes we think if we can just get joy, then everything will be right. But actually joy is a bit topsy-turvy. You see, joy in a very simple way comes like this. If you get Jesus first, if you discover him and discover that he can bring you into the presence of God, if you put him first in your life and then you put others first, the others that God brings you into that fellowship, that friendship where you can share with them, then you discover joy. Very simple. Jesus, others, and you. Because Jesus brings us into a relationship with God, the Father and the Son. We end up sharing this fellowship with him. And then we're able to have a heart for others. We build friendships with others that are not just on the basis of what we can get, but on what we can give. Because we have fellowship with this God who's a generous God. God who loves to share. One of the things that was such evident for me when I went up to CAP quite some years ago now, I remember Sean, yourself and me and Philip Duke, we went to visit CAP in Bradford. You could just see their heart for God, their love for people who were poor and broken. I remember, Phil, we were sitting next to one another and just that heart they had for seeing people to come to know Christ. And I remember then hearing about being a life changer and thought, yeah, I want to be a life changer. And it's something that Laura and I give to in just a small way, but in a significant way, just because we want to say, yeah, we're standing with what they're doing. And it's something that we do, like with the support of some of our missionaries, our personal support for that we do above and beyond our kind of tithing and our giving to the church. And so I want to encourage you, please, today, as Sean was saying, this is something where we're part of reaching to the Emmas and to the people in our city who have not found this fellowship, this community, this fellowship here, but also with the one who made heaven and earth. I had the amazing joy a few weeks back of talking to one of our CAP clients, and she was just saying, you know, I found family here. Feels like home. And I thought she's discovered something of this verse. She's also come to know God, the God who loves her and who wants her to know that he wants her to be with him forever. So I want to invite you, please join me in becoming a life changer. And if maybe even doing that, and if you already are a life changer, you might want to even consider increasing that. But it also might just be a prompt to think, you know what, I'm not yet actually starting giving regularly to the life of the church. And you can do that here at the Connections Point as well. But one of the things about joining and having fellowship with God is he's such a generous God that he gets us thinking about how to be generous to others. One of the ways we're going to be doing that in a few weeks' time as well is in our World Mission Gift Day. We're joining and sharing with our partners around the world as we seek to do that in May, on May the 15th. And I just find that as I give, joy comes. Because I'm joining with God. I'm having communion and fellowship with him. And amazingly, it's as we run to God to join him through Jesus Christ that joy comes. It comes through friendship with God and with those who know and love God. And it's when I think that joy is going to come somehow by something else and I run away from God, that's when joy dives in my life. So many people come to Brighton, they're looking for joy and they're running away from God. And they end up in a mess. And you and I, we know that when we run away from God, joy dies. We don't get what we thought we were after. But when we run to God, through Jesus Christ, through what he's done, when we realize that people like you and I, fallen people, broken people, can actually know God as our friend. And so we work at our relationships. And yes, this side of heaven, they're not perfect yet. We have to keep repenting and forgiving each other and keep coming back to God and saying, sorry, God, I want to be right with you through what Jesus Christ has done. But when we do that, joy overflows in our lives in amazing ways. So it's a privilege today. It's a privilege today to not just proclaim Jesus Christ, but to invite you to join in knowing him in a deep and wonderful way. To invite you to come to this God of light and of love, the God who, when we get close to him, joy overflows in our lives. I mean, after all, if you've got fellowship with God, how could life not overflow? And amazingly, this is a little thought just as we end. I'm sure many of us are going to spill down and go and watch the marathon. Amazingly, the Apostle John's kind of saying, we're joining with him and with God the Father and God the Son. It's like he's this great big cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on, who's saying, hey, yeah, we're part of this CAP venture too. We're part of what you're doing. They're cheering you on. They're saying, keep going. Consider Jesus. Don't become weary at doing good. Because Jesus himself, for the joy set before him, endured the difficult things. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he wants you and I to be caught up in this relationship with him. So as we come to end, I invite you, come to Jesus to discover real joy through the real Christ. And as we do that, we're going to know a friendship with God that can last forever. So should we bow our heads? And just as we bow, I'm going to invite Tim and the band to come. And this is my prayer this morning. That Jesus would open up the eyes of your heart to him more fully, to the fact that you can have a real relationship with him, real friendship with God the Father and the Son. And so, Lord, please, by your Spirit, help us in all of our brokenness see you more clearly. May we enjoy you and find our joy through living close to you, the God of light and love. And just in the quietness, there may be things that you know are getting in the way of you enjoying God. If your communion, your fellowship, your friendship with Him, just say, God, I want to put those things aside. And then look to the real Jesus again. The one who died for you, who rose again, who's paid for your sin. And say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, thank you for making it possible for me to be your friend. I want to walk with you through life. I want to know the joy that comes from you. Keep opening my eyes, opening my heart to you, I pray. In your precious name, amen.